Today, Shir, I'd like to introduce my words, two statements. Number one, in order to be intellectually honest, that I am a follower of Yud Gimel of the Rambam, okay? Which means that I'm starting from the fact that just like the rest of the 13 faith, the 13 principles of faith in the Rambam that I follow, so the Yisod Hashmini of the Rambam is that Torah is Mir Shemayim. And according to Rambam, Hushunamim Shekoa Torah is the source number one. From Parish of Mishnah, Rambam Sakat Sanhedrin, Hushunam, we have to believe Shekoa Torah Lazun is the Adenu, the whole Torah we have in our hands, Chamishi Chamishi Torah, the Torah Shbachsa, Torah Shmalteh, Hayom Hazei, a Torah Shil Moshe. This is the Torah given to Moshe Rabbeinu. The Shehikulim Puach Bura, and everything was heard from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In other words, according to Rambam Parish of Mishnah, we have to believe not only that the Torah came from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, every single word, every single letter, but that it was given to Moshe Rabbeinu. Kolomer shehigia lav kulam es Hashem, hagash shekor masal derech hashala dibur. In other words, we say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu spoke to Moshe Rabbeinu, the Rambam said we're only borrowing that term, because we don't know what exactly happened to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Moshe Rabbeinu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu spoke to Moshe, that's the term that we're using, but the Torah for our purposes came from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Moshe Rabbeinu. The Ein Yodei in the Rambam says Echus Osa Hagav. We don't know how it came. Elahu Olav Hashalom Asher Yielav. It came from Moshe Rabbeinu. The Shehu B'Malas Lava Shekar Lefana V'Kosev Kula Tarichah V'Sipurah V'Shoseha. And Moshe Rabbeinu just described Hakadosh Baruch Hu said the whole Torah. And Moshe Rabbeinu described Hachin Nikras Mechokek, and that's why Moshe is called the Mechokek. And then he goes on to Rambam, Ba'in Hevdel, Ba'in Vdei Chom Kushim Mitzrayim, Fudu Chanan, B'Shem Mishtam Ha'etavah, Bach Matrei, Ronokhi Hashem, all the Pesukim of the Torah are the same, they all came from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shema Yisrael Shem Hashem Chod, Hakol Mithi Agvura, Hakol Torah Hashem, Nima Torah Kedusha Emes, Kedusha Emes. V'lo Nas Menashe Etzlam Kofar Pokir Yoser, We call Kofar Acher, and Menashe, the Rasha, the one who brought about the Zohar to Eretz Yisrael, was called the Kofar, the Gemara said in the next Sanhedrin. Why? Because he made fun of certain psukim. As we'll see, the Gemara, some Gemaras, he didn't understand why some psukim in the Torah, he made fun of it. She'elu ha-tarichim sipurim ento helis v'em, and he said, these dates and these stories, there's no sense to them. U'moshe midai to Amram, and he wanted to imply that Moshe said it on his own. The Zehu Indian Torah Min HaShemayim, and therefore this is the Torah Min HaShemayim, when someone denies the fact that it came from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the fact that it came according to the Rambam of Moshe Rabbeinu. Amr Shu Omer Shekol HaTorah Kula Pi HaKadosh Baruch Hu Chutz Mipasuk Echad. And someone who says that the whole Torah came from Moshe Rabbeinu except for one Pasuk, Shalo Amr HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ela Moshe Pi Atzmo V'Zehu Gidvar HaShem Viza, and someone says that one Pasuk Moshe said on his own, that's Kidvar Hashem Biza, Yisal Hashem Mimash Omer Kofrim, Elokol Osheba, Yesh Bachachmos and the flows. Every letter in the Torah has hidden wisdoms and miracles and great wondrous things. Lemisha Vinu Hashem. Below Tusar Tachlis Chachmosa, and no one can really understand the depths of the Torah. And the Rambam, goes on, he says, an old person just daven, like David HaMelech, she follow Gali and I beat them up herself and herself. We ask Kadosh Baruch Hu to open up our eyes. The Chaim Perusha Makubal Gamu and Piagvura. The Zesh and Osma Yom Tzura Sukkah. We do a Sukkah Lula. It all comes from Kadosh Baruch Hu through Moshe Rabbeinu. So the Rambam is very clear that one of Yud Gimel Ikrim is you have to believe in Torah Min HaShemayim. And the Rambam here says that it came through Moshe Rabbeinu. And The title of the shiur is The Tragedies of Chodesh Teves, from the Septuagint to Bible Criticism. And for Bible Criticism, I'm using the term that they're saying that maybe some people want to suggest that, God forbid, some of the psukim in the Torah don't originate from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And for someone to say that is going against this Rambam. And even though you might find certain Rishonim, as I'll mention, who might have said that certain psukim came later on, okay, from David HaMelech maybe, later on, the Ruach HaKodesh. According to the Rambam, that is against Yud Gimel Ikrim, and according to the Rambam, someone who follows their path today, according to the Rambam, would be called an Apikoros. There's no question about it. The fact that the Rishonim in those days had said it, okay, that was before this was accepted as Yud Gimel Ikrim. That was before. So, for example, the Gemara says in Masechta Sanhedrin, in the name of Hillel HaSheni, Ein Mashiach LeYisrael. There won't be a Messiah.
There won't be a Messiah.
That's what he says. There won't be a Mashiach. We know today, and it didn't mean that the Jews would not be saved. But what he meant to say is there won't be a human being that will save the Jewish people. It will all come to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We know today, that according to the Rambam, one of the Yidum Ikrim, is to believe that there will be a Mashiach. There will be a Mashiach. And so no one could call Hillel Hasheni, God forbid, that he is not Kores, because they believe in Mashiach, because in those days that wasn't accepted. However, today, I think my grandfather pointed this out with Moshe Soloveitchik, that today, when the Rambam's principles of faith are accepted, and it's obviously accepted, whatever people want to say, they don't like it. You know, we've been saying Yigdal, we've been saying Nanimamins, they've definitely been accepted by Klal Yisrael, so therefore someone does not follow the Rambam, he is going against Yud Gimel Ikrim of those main Yisodos that define really what is a Jew. And therefore, I'm just trying to start off to say is that I'm starting from that point. I'm not here to prove Torah Min HaShemayim, Torah Lo Min HaShemayim. I believe every word of the Torah comes from the Shemayim, just like I believe that there will be a Mashiach, and I'm not here to prove it. That's where I'm starting. That is where I'm starting off from. That's point number one. Point number two, I can say, is that next Thursday, Mashiach doesn't come beforehand, the Asar B'Teves. And the Asar B'Teves, we know, we commemorate the tragedy of when the Babylonians lay siege to the city of Jerusalem. But if you look at the Slichos, it's not only that. Because the Slichos point out the other things that happen in Chodesh Teves on Ches and Tet. For example, the Septuagint, as we'll see, when the Torah was translated into Greek, and that was a tragedy also, as we'll see in a few minutes. And the death of Ezra, that was also a tragedy. It's interesting, we commemorate the death of Ezra, we don't really focus so much on the death of other tzaddikim as much as Ezra. And then there's also another tragedy, which we really don't know what it is, and we'll speak about that also. But if we think about it, I don't know if we really take to heart what the Septuagint means to us today. Because, you know, the Torah translated into Greek, what does that really mean? And the truth is, today we know we have so many, Baruch Hashem, I would say, we have so many translations of the Torah that people can learn more. So what was the tragedy of the Septuagint? And to think about it, what was the tragedy of the death of Ezra? And for us today, we understand the tragedy of the Churban Beit HaMikdash. We understand the tragedy of maybe the walls of Jerusalem being broken open that we commemorate in Tammuz. But like, why are we commemorating? We speak about the siege of the Babylonians on Jerusalem, and we don't commemorate the siege of the Romans on Jerusalem. Only the Babylonians. So I would like really to try to understand the fast day to make it much more meaningful to us, and to see how this fast day, even though its source is rooted in the Churban Beit HaMikdash, there's really something very much deeper there. So let me begin. So the Rambam, when he says that a person has to believe in Torah Min HaShemayim, where does the Rambam get it from? The Rambam does not pick it out of a hat. It comes from the Gemara Masechet Sanhedrin. It's source number two. The Gemara says in Masechet Sanhedrin, source number two, HaOmer, the Gemara there talks about all those who don't have a portion in the world to come. And someone who doesn't have a portion in the world to come is really not the Chlal. The Gemara is trying to imply the Chlal. Chlal is from the portion of the world to come. So he says, who does not have a portion of the world to come? HaOmer, Torah Min HaShemayim. So Gemara says, Tana Rabbana, why? Ki Devar Hashem Diza. Because if someone says Torah is not Min HaShemayim, as the Rambam points out, that's every word of the Torah. So he is Mevaz the Devar Hashem. Umitzvaso Hefer, Karis to Karis. And he's going to remove the mitzvahs and he'll be cut off. Zeha Omer, this is the person who says, Ein Torah Min HaShemayim, there's no Torah Min HaShemayim. Okay, go on to HaShemayim. Then the Gemara goes on, Ki Barva Shambiza, Zeha Megal upon a Batorah, that is someone who points out the Torah, it might seem to be ridiculous. And the Gemara goes on, if you go on, Getani Idach, Ki Barva Shambiza, the end of the second line, Zeha Omer, this is somebody who says, Ein Torah Min HaShemayim. It's not Torah Min HaShemayim. Vafilu Amar, the Gemara says, Kola Torah Kula Min HaShemayim. Even if a person says, the whole Torah is Min HaShemayim, Chutz mi pasuk zeh shelo amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Except for one pasuk, he says, this one pasuk didn't come from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. One pasuk. Ela Moshe mi bi'atmo, but Moshe said in his own, so he says, zeh kidbar Hashem diza. Vafilu Amar, even if he says, Kola Torah Kula Min HaShemayim.
The whole Torah Mishmar chutz mi tiktik azeh, mi kal v'chomer zeh, except for learning this one thing out, this kal v'chomer, mi zera shavazu, zeh kid dvar Hashem biza. Alright? Okay. Let's go on. So dvar Hashem biza basically implies, that he's saying what, that something from the Torah is not min Hashemayim, it's not from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But the Gemara continues. The Gemara offers other interpretations of what Kidvar Hashem Biza means. Remeir Omer. Halo me Torah ben melamdo. Someone learns Torah, does not teach it. Zehu Kidvar Hashem Biza. Avi Nasan Omer. Kol Mishen Mashkiach Hal Mishnah. Someone who is not here about reviewing, right? Kibar Hashem Biza. Rabbi Nahorai Omer, Kol Shef Shlasa Torah Ben Osek. Someone who can learn Torah is not learn Torah. Kibar Hashem Biza. So I'd like to understand, the first question I'd like to understand is, what is the connection between saying that something in the Torah is not from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is filled with Kibar Hashem Biza, and someone who learns Torah does not teach it, someone who does not review the Torah, someone who does not learn Torah has a chance. I'd like to understand what the connection is between saying something that Torah Mishmaim, which seems to be a terrible, terrible avera, and someone doesn't learn Torah, someone doesn't teach Torah. What is the connection? That's question number one. If we move on to source number three, so Gemara says, Tana Rabbanan, someone who goes against the Torah of Yad Rama. What did Menashe ben Chizkiah do? What did he do? So Yosef the Doresh Bagadur Shaldofi. He would go ahead and he would look at the stories in the Torah and make fun of them. Omar, he says, V'chi loa yavo Moshe lichtov ala machos lotim timna v'timna shalega shalipaz. Did Moshe really have to write all these things? This seems so ridiculous. He said, Moshe Rabbeinu obviously did not come from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It came off on his own. These are ridiculous things to write about. So the pastor called out and said, you make fun of Moshe Rabbeinu, who was a Jew. Says, you're going to go ahead and you're going to hear about this, basically. You're going to hear about this. Okay? V'chichocha, I'm going to give you Musa, rebuke you for this. V'olah first v'kabbalah, and then it mentions the pasuk, that those who pull the strings that are nothing, in the end will become strings of a wagon. It says that the Yetzirah v'chila is domet l'chut shal kuvya. See, Kovia, so he says that the Yotzahara is domed to a very, very thin string. In the end, it becomes like a string which pulls way out, which is very strong. So the question is, I just like to focus on that. That, in other words, why are we giving the mushel here in this Gemara to Yetzahara, who starts with to Yetzahara? We talk about Torah Min Hashemayim. That things come from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Gemara gives a mashal about how strong it is. At first it seems very weak and very fragile, it becomes very strong. Okay, that's the second point. The third question, if you look at the Gemara never said anything about the fact that the Torah has to, you have to recognize the fact that the Torah is given to Moshe Rabbeinu. The Torah just says, what is the mean Kidvar Hashem Biza? Someone who does not say Torah is Min Hashemayim. The Torah, does not say anything at all that you have to accept that Moshe Rabbeinu wrote the whole Torah. Okay, true, the Gemara suggests that if someone says that Moshe Rabbeinu wrote by himself, he's over the Dvar Hashem Biza. But the Gemara does not suggest in any way that you have to accept that Moshe wrote the whole Torah. The Gemara just says, you have to accept that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the whole Torah to Moshe Rabbeinu. But the Rambam, when he formulates this ikra, this principle, the Rambam says one of these principles are that you have to believe the whole Torah came from HaKadosh Baruch Hu through Moshe Rabbeinu. So the third question I'd like to ask is, why did the Rambam add it in? Why does the Rambam feel that it's so important not only to believe that Kol Torah Min Hashemayim, as we come back, but to believe that everything came from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, everything came from Moshe Rabbeinu also? That's the third question. If you look at the Rambam in the Yad HaChazakah, so in source number four, so he says, Hilchos Teshuvah Parakim Olah Chesem, there he deals with all the people of Nohelech Olam Haba. See, he says, Shlosh Hein HaKol from the Torah, there are three people who are called from the Torah. So the first choice, the Omer She'ein Torah Minim Hashem Apilu Pasuk Gadol Echad Imam Moshe Amru Minatzma Areis Hakol Petorah. The Rambam, when he forced the Minyan Chazaka, he doesn't mention that you have to believe that it came from Moshe Rabbeinu. The Rambam just says you have to believe everything is from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what Rambam says. However, the Rambam in source number 5 and source number 6 certainly emphasize that the whole Torah was written by Moshe Rabbeinu. And so let's look at number 5. The Rambam in Hilchas Tefillah discusses the last 8 psukim in the Torah. The last 8 psukim in the Torah present a big problem which is raised by Chazal, Masechta Vavasra, and Masechta Menachos. Why? Because the last 8 psukim in the Torah talk about Moshe Rabbeinu's death. But Yamasha Moshe died. Then the Torah finishes off, you know, the end of Moshe's life after he died. So the Gemara asks, who wrote the last 8 psukim in the Torah? It couldn't be Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu died already. So there's a machlokas. One mandamra says Yeshua wrote it. Another mandamra says, no, Moshe Rabbeinu wrote it. What do you mean Moshe Rabbeinu wrote it? HaKadosh Baruch Hu went ahead and told him what was going to happen. And Moshe wrote it. Some say Moshe wrote it with tears. The Rambam Paskins, if you look at source number 5, Shmon of Sukkim Shibasov HaTorah Mutter Lukrosom Beis HaKnesses. The last 8 psukim in the end of the Torah, you're allowed to read them in a shul, the pachas me'asara, with less than 10 people. The last 8 psukim are very special. Some say that you can't have a bal korin in the ole, only a bal korah. The one against the liya should read it. Some say you can't divide the last 8 psukim. The Rambam says the last 8 psukim in the Torah, Gemara says yachid korah some, individual read it. What does it mean, individual? The Rambam says you can even read it be a chidus. We've shown them jump all over the Rambam. The Afal Pisha Kol Torah Hi, even though it's all Torah. And the last 8 psukim in the Torah are also Torah, the Rambam says. Umoshe Biyagvuro Amra Moshe Makadosh Baruch Hu, Hoel Umashimam Shem Achar Mises Moshe. But since it sounds like it happened after Moshe died, Hari Nishtanu, it changed. Ulafichach, therefore, Mutter Liyachim Likrososon, and an individual is allowed to go ahead and to read them. You don't have to have minyan there. Okay, that's the Rambam. The Rambam clearly states that he believes that every pasuk in the Torah is written by Moshe Rabbeinu, even something which Chazal said, some Chafet Chazal said was written by Yeshua bin Nun. Rambam said it was written by Moshe Rabbeinu. That's the Rambam. That's the Rambam Shita. And if you look at the Rambam, the Geras Chias Mason, which he wrote after Yad HaChazaka, he says, "Al perik chelik biyarnusham k'moshim su mishi istakul bo achar shirachim v'davar alava." He says, after I spoke alava, he says, "Amarnushet chias hamesim and chelik l'mishal yamim b'toris Moshe Rabbeinu." On the enot tachlis tachrona, he says, because the Rambam Erev Chias Mesim is trying to prove people somehow or another they accused the Rambam that he didn't believe in chias hamesim. That's what he accused Rambam. So the Rambam went ahead and wrote Igeres Chias Mesim to show Noah is one of the Ikrei Emunah, and he says that I said that if someone does not believe in Torah Moshe Rabbeinu, he has no portion in Chias HaMesim. So the Rambam says clearly, Geras Chias HaMesim, he refers to the Torah is Moshe. So according to the Rambam clearly holds that the Torah has to, we have to believe not only that the Torah came from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but it came from Moshe Rabbeinu. Even though the Gemara, Masechta Sanhedrin, seems to imply that the important belief is that it came from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Rambam clearly states you have to believe also in the Parish HaMishnah, and he says in Hilchos Tefillah, and in the Geras Chias HaMesim, he points out that you have to believe it's all Torah from Moshe also, it came from Moshe Rabbeinu, so I can understand why. That's number 6. That's the source of question number 4. Now, question number 5, it's a difficult question, and as I mentioned at the beginning of the year, the word was shown that would not include the Rambam. The word was shown him, who actually said, you don't have to believe that Moshe Rabbeinu wrote everything. Okay? Where are we shown? Okay? These were shown, of course, believe that everything came from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because the Gemara said that in the Sanhedrin. But they differed, and they said the Gemara does not mention Moshe Rabbeinu. So who are these Rishonim? Again, I'm not necessarily a bulky to tell you who all the Rishonim are. But two Rishonim that stick out. One is Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid. And there's a very, very famous tshuva of Moshe Feinstein. I did not print the whole tshuva. It will take a few pages. You can look it up. And the story goes like this. Very quick story. In Switzerland, many, many years ago, there was a person who was, he liked to find manuscripts and republish manuscripts. And he found a certain manuscript that was written by, I guess, the son, a student of Yehuda HaChassid, one of the Rishonim. And it was basically writing over the Shalosh Shudas Torah of Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid. And in the Shalosh Shel Torah, Yehuda Chassid said certain things that the Rambam wouldn't agree with. So number one, he said that the Shiras HaBe'er, which is in Parshas Chukas, is not really the Shiras HaBe'er. The Shiras HaBe'er is really the Halal HaGadol that is in Sefer Tehillim. And David Melech took it out of the Sefer Torah and put it into Sefer Tehillim, and he put something else inside. Okay? Now, we have to keep in mind, as I said, even Rabbi Yehuda Chassid said this, he, of course, was done with the Ruach HaKodesh. There's no question, but done with Ruach HaKodesh. And then the second thing, which I actually, I have here, it's coming up next week's Parsha, so he says, if you look at Rav Moshe Feinstein's source number 7, he says, Al-Kopanim, this is Yordea, Chela Gimel, Simon Kuf Yudalit, and then I think also Simon Kuf Tesvav, Rav Moshe speaks about this, Al-Kopanim, Kol Sefer Torah Kul, Lichtav Adi Moshe, Biagbura, Kol Osva Osmanish, every letter from Moshe Rabbeinu. So to Kakash Baruch Hu. Umisha Omer Shikah Fil Rak Os Acha Shikafs and Moshe Ba'atzma. And I think he goes on and says, he says, if someone says that one letter was written by Moshe Ba'atzma Baruch Hu Sivui, it's the Korah B'Torah. The Kol Shikai, Misha Yomar Shikah Eta Dover Shach Moshe B'Chatzvu, El Acher Moshe Ba'achreirim, the Chsir Adem in the Torah, Shem Korah B'Torah. And Moshe says, anybody who says that Moshe Rabbeinu came after Moshe, someone else took something out or put something else in, it's the Korah B'Torah. And including the Baruch Hashem Visa. He said, if Yabba Akaba Omar Shalot, Siva Hashem, Lachashal Hosef, I feel like Hosef was Mavi Hashakim. And if someone says that Hashem told me to take out one letter, he says, Mavi Hashakim, fine. Umemela Mashakosuf, he says, when it says, by the Torah says in Parshat Vayechi, by Yosim is the frown of Menashe, then what is it talking about? Rav Chassid said, it's not talking about Yaakov Avinu. Talking about Moshe Rabbeinu, that Ephraim, Shevet Ephraim, had Kedima, had precedence to Shevet Menashe. He says, because why? Because it should have said, Ani Santi is Ephraim. Why did it say, but he says Menashe, right? So therefore, they want to suggest, but in fact, it didn't say Ani Santi. Yeshua wrote it, Rav Zal wrote it, that's what Yehuda Chassid said. I want to clarify, if Yehuda Chassid said this, it's based on Ruach HaKodesh. It's Ruach HaKodesh, okay? Rav Moshe Feinstein was very upset about this, and he said he can't publish the Sefer. And he appointed Rav Yoshev Moshe Zalman Orbach to take care, to make sure the Sefer doesn't get published. So Rav Moshe Zalman Orbach, I understand, he basically said that you can't publish the Sefer, but you have to take those objectionable parts out. Okay, because they said, listen, he said, the fact is this doesn't go according to the Rambam Shita, but in the time of Yehuda Chassid, right, he wasn't Apikoris, because he wasn't the Kol B'Torah, because that was not the definition that was accepted back in those days. So you're allowed to publish them, but keep these parts of the Sefer out. That's what Shlomo Zalman said. Okay, they said, okay. So that's one shita. If you go and look at another shita, so another shita did not hold with the Rambam. They hold, of course, everything was a Kodesh Baruch Hu, but Moshe Rabbeinu did not say necessarily everything. If you look one more shita, as we've shown, that's the shita of Ibn Ezra. In source number 8, Reishis Perek Yudbeis, Pasuk Vav, Vayavar Avon Ba'aretz, Amakom Shechem, Adol Moreh, Vaknani Oz Ba'aretz, when Avon first came to Eretz Yisrael, and Parshat Lech Lecha, Vaknani Oz Ba'aretz, Vaknani Oz Ba'aretz, Yitochein she'eretz Kenan, Tofso, Kenan miyad acher. So why is it that Kenani Osbaretz? Ibn Ezra asked, source number 9. What do you mean they were then in the land? Implying they weren't the land at different times. So he says it could be that beforehand Kenan did not have possession of Eretz Yisrael, and now Achim came there it did. But then he says, Yimeinenu came. If it's not true, Yesh lo sod. There's a secret behind it. V'hamaskil yidom. And the person who's smart and understands what the sod is will be quiet about it, okay? What's the sod? The sod is, even I'm just saying, it could be someone else wrote this out later on. At that time when Avram came, even though the Canaan were not now in the Eretz Yisrael, they were in Eretz Yisrael then. And he says, a person must kill Yidom. So the question is Ibn Ezra also seems to accept the possibility that Torah min Hashemayim, but not everything written by Moshe Rabbeinu, must kill Yidom. However, Ibn Ezra said a person should be quiet about it. Why should a person be quiet? So today I understand why a person should be quiet, because the Rambam's accepted. But why should even Ezra say, I'm asking you don't? Okay, that's the fifth question.
What does even Ezra say? That he's with the
Rambam? No, so Rambam just says that by Kanani Yosef he says that what happened was is that later on maybe, he says it could be maybe like the Rambam says, that they're saying before Avram got there, the Kanani were not yet in possession of the land. They said, that's not the shot. Then there's a secret behind it. And what's the secret? The secret is what I'm saying. He says it could be someone else who wrote this, Alpi Ruach HaKodesh, later on. But Hamaskil, but someone understands this, Edom should be silent. You shouldn't talk about this. Okay? So what gives me right to talk about it? Because even Ezra wrote it. Alright? So Hamaskil, Edom. Alright? But even after saying those written Alpi Ruach HaKodesh, there's no question about it. Alright? So that's, I'd like to understand why Hamaskil, Edom. Alright? So let's put all this to the side for a second. Let's talk about Asar Bateyvis for a minute. Alright, so we said mentioned before that Asar Bateyvis, so many things happened. The first thing that happened, the first thing we commemorate, I believe it was on Ches Teves. So the Ches Teves, yes. So what happened was is that Talmi Amelech, what did he do? He went ahead and he had a Torah translated into Greek. And this is the Gemara Maseches Megillah, that Talmi Amelech, what he wanted to do is he wanted to, there are different reasons why. Maybe he wanted to learn the Torah himself. Maybe he wanted to give an opportunity to those Jews who live outside Israel, did not know Hebrew so well, to learn the Torah. So he put 72 Zekanim into different rooms, and he told them to go ahead, and he didn't tell them why he was bringing them in. And once he got in the rooms, he said, I want you all to write Torah's Moshe down and translate for me into Greek. Alright? And the problem is there were certain parts of the Torah that might have been problematic to translate. And therefore, it was a miracle that happened. The change that they made, all 72 made the exact same changes. Just to give an example, it says, we say Bereshit Bara Elokim. Bereshit, we translate, you say, beginning created God, right? They translated, they created Elokim, but Bereshit, God made at the beginning. Because they didn't want the Chas V'Shalom, so we could learn something in the Torah, which might imply heresy. But all 72, the Gemara says it was innate, made the same changes. Okay. The Gemara here does not say anything bad about it. As a matter of fact, Gemara talks about that's why. Because this happened. He even writes a certain svarim in Lashon Yevanis, which we don't have today. But if you look at source number 11, and source number, we'll see, says like this. Maisa bechamisha zekanim. There was a source of five zekanim. Shekosvu letalmi amelach zetari Yevanis. That they went ahead and they wrote for Talmi Amelech the Torah in Greek. V'hoya osa hayom kosher Yisrael, and that day was so difficult for the Jews. It was as difficult, the Maseches Sofrim says, kiyom shenasa bo ha'egel. When the Torah was translated into Greek, the Maseches Sofrim says that was as difficult as the day the egel was created, was done. That was as difficult as the day the egel was created. The difficult day of the ego. Shalom ha'is the Torah. Why? Yecholei takim kol tzorcha. Because the Torah could not be translated according in the most thorough possible manner. All right. So I'd like to understand what was the tragedy. People say the tragedy was that I saw many different shulchan, but one shot the tragedy was that now the Greeks, could go ahead. The Jews could learn Greek because now they, someone told me that. Rabbi Yitzchak Hanan Spector. How did he learn Polish? So he went in and he took a Polish Bible, okay, and he read the Bible in Polish. That's how he learned Polish. So he said, and then he was able to read the Polish newspaper. And he said he found there was one word in the newspaper that he didn't see in the Bible. What word was that? That was the word politika, whatever it was in Polish, okay? So he looked at the word politika. Politika in Polish means truth, a falsehood and lying, okay? So he says, and I think they say Rav Kook, how did Rav Kook learn English? Rav Kook learned English because he just went through the Sinsino Talmud. That's how he learned English. Okay, that's how he learned English. Okay? So he says, however, they say, so the Jews at that time were able to learn Greek, and once you learn Greek, you became influenced by the Greek culture. That's one shot that's given. However, the
was there only five Zekanim here?
Just a second. You can read a little further on, okay? I didn't get there yet, okay? So he says, Shuv Maisa, so go on in a second. So he says, But the Maseches Tanna says no. The tragedy was because Shaloa, you saw a Torah Chol Tam Chol Tzorcha. You couldn't give a thorough translation, a thorough explanation of the Torah. I'd like to understand what that means. Now, if you go ahead, question a well-asked question. Shuv Maisa, but B'Talmi Hamelach, another incident happened. Sheikine Shiv Mishayin Shkenim V'Shivim V'Shiv Mishayin Totim V'Logil Lam Amam Kinsam Nichasachan Kolachad Echad Mehem Amalem. So there's another story. It could be that maybe when the first five translated, Talmi Hamelach thought that, you know, I didn't do a good enough job. Maybe they were forewarned and prepared for it. So they did it again, like the Gemara says. If you go ahead and look, so the question is number one, what was so bad about it? And what is the comparison to trampling the Torah to the day the eagle was made? I mean, okay, the Septuagint was bad. It wasn't great. But compare it to the eagle? We're still suffering for the eagle today. And if you go ahead and look at source number 13, Seder of Amram Gaon, he quotes the same Chazal, the Shmona B'Teves Nichtav HaTorah Meitalmi HaMelech Yevonis, and the 8th of Teves, the Torah was translated. But in the days of Talmud, if you're honest, they hachoshech v'olol shoshes yomim, and there was darkness for 3 days. Again, I'd like to understand why does Rav Amram Gaon, which is based, I'm sure, on the Chazal, use the appellation, what's the significance of the idea that it was choshech? Okay, now, let's go on. You look at source number 14. Source number 14 is in the Shulchan Aruch, it's based on the Chazal, and it says, and there the Shulchan Aruch in Simin, Tavkoth Tei, lists off all the times tzaddikim when people would fast. So it says b'shmona b'teves, there was a fast day because nichtava haTorah Yevonis the Meitam Yamelech, and the Shulchan Aruch quotes what happened v'ahaya choshech bo v'shosh yomim, and then the Shulchan Aruch goes on and says v'tesbo something happened the ninth. Lo noda ezu tarshu. We don't know what happened, but it was pretty bad, and therefore people fast. Okay, now there's a whole discussion what happened, and there are problems with every single answer that's given. I looked into this a few years ago. I gave a shiur on this. I don't know if anyone here gets the mishpacha, but the Kolmus edition of the mishpacha for Chanukah actually went through all the opinions. All right, and just to quickly give you a few opinions, I want to focus on one. Some say that if I remember correctly. Some want to suggest that Rav Yosef Hanogid, the son of Shmuel Hanogid, was killed and caused a pogrom in Spain at that time, and Chazal, when they were conveying his fast day, saw in the future that this would happen. Very difficult, okay? Some want to suggest Ramah. He has a parish on Megillas Esther, very esoteric, and he says in the ninth of Teves, Esther went to see Achsherosh the first time. As it says, it was, you look at the Megillah, fits in with the Psukim, it was Chodesh Teves, and because of that we fast. Okay, again, we have no way of knowing, and you know, Yeshua came from there, why would we fast? Another pshat that's given, and I'll finish off with the last pshat, another pshat that's given, a third pshat that's given, everyone is just guessing and choosing. Another pshat that's given is that Chachmei Chazal wanted to, were very concerned about the Christian religion, and they thought they would drag Jews away, and therefore what they wanted to do is they wanted to, at that point, the very beginning, Christianity was very similar to Judaism. They kept the same Shabbos, the same holidays, they followed the same calendar, and they wanted to plant somebody in Christian religion who would grow high up, right? And he would be able to change Christian religion, and they suggested that's what happened. And the day he went in, that became a fast day. Okay, the fourth, which I found, I saw before, but I found quoted in an article about whether a person should learn on December 24th at night. No, it's not very, very apropos to the time that we're in today. So he says he discusses from the what. Anyways, my father told me, as I mentioned, that he always learned in Europe, and he said the reason why he didn't learn in Europe because it was a very dangerous night for Jews to go out, and he said and the only place where people could learn in those days were in shuls, because that's where he had Tzvarim, but he said, I had Tzvarim in my house, we learned at home. Alright, anyways, the Royal Lepharsimo, we look at this, it's in the black letters, Meramez of Sefer Ibu Rav Avram Barchi Hanasi B'Shara Achron, Mashakasu B'Shei Ma'ora Shal Yom Mazeva Gamayiros Allah Shigam, the Yun Batil and Anwan Sasur Mafurash, the same Ibn Asa Kasu, the Hu, Klomer Hanotri, also Ish, Nolad with Ibrahim, the Shnatskim Allah from Tashatayan Avachalath, who Yom Shabbos Tisha Batebes, He was born on the 9th of Teves. Again, I don't know if there's any validity to this, because I don't know when Osish was born. I don't know if he was born, and the whole calendar was different back then. But it's interesting, Shabbos comes down, and I would like on some level, but we do know, I'd like on some level, maybe, to tie this into the Shira, to understand what exactly is bad about Christianity, and how, why is it bad for the Jews, besides the fact that they killed so many Jews over generations. Okay, then the last question, and then we'll try to tie it all off. It's about Sarvatavis. Okay, now we living in Eretz Israel, or anyone who lives in the Northern Hemisphere, knows that the easiest fast day is a Sarvatavis. Easiest fast day, it's a joke, alright? I'm not even sure what time, but next week a person can get up, you know, especially a person who goes to Daf Yomishir before davening, can have a nice big breakfast, can go to Daf Yomishir, look at the time, I'm not sure what time Daf Yomishir is, but you know, a Shkia, Nathan Beit Shemesh, I think next week must be around 6:40, which means that a person can eat, according to certain sheets, it's already 6:40, 5:20, 5:22, Daf Yomishir starts at 5 o'clock, 5:30, you can eat breakfast and then go to Daf Yomishir. And the fast day is over very early, For those who live in the Southern Hemisphere, it's a very difficult fast. The difficult as Shivas Shabbatamos is for us. Very difficult fast. However, that being said, even though we think it's a very easy fast, there's a very famous Avuchram. And the Avuchram says, the Chiluk Yesh Menehem. There's a difference between all the fast days and Asar B'Tavis. Sha'arbas ha-tzomos tehem nitchem ha-pamayim shol b'Shabbos. Because the four, the four tzomos, okay, which means basically Shivas Shabbatamos, Tisha B'Av, and Tzom Gedalia, are different than Yom Kippur. Because Yom Kippur, we know if it falls on Shabbos, we still fast. Tzom Gedalia, Shivas Shabbatamos, and Tisha B'Av, even if it falls on Shabbos, we don't fast. Okay? He says, Chutz me'asarvateves, except for sarvateves, she'enu chalom b'Shabbos. With the calendar of Hillel, Hasheni, it will never pull out on Shabbos. Avol hu chol b'pamim b'yom shishi, m'sarvo b'yom. But sometimes sarvateves falls out on Friday, as it did last year, and we will fast on Friday. Avafilu hoya chol b'Shabbos, the Bush Rabbi says, one of the Rishonim, if a sarvateves will fall out on Shabbos, we wouldn't go ahead and wouldn't be able to push off a different day. Because by Asar B'Teves, so the Navi says that he says that Kadosh Baruch Hu so marked this day because something's happening. Etzem Yom Hazeh, and to them Hazeh that means that you can't that Asar B'Teves should fall on Shabbos, which you can't. You would still fast. Okay, so I'd like to understand what is the significance of Asar B'Teves. So now, to put this all together, I think Pshat is like this. My grandfather, Moshe Soloveitchik, Zatzal, told my father that when Bible criticism first started, okay, and the first Jewish Bible critic, who knows what it was? Anyone know who the first Jewish Bible critic was? I think they said the first one was Spinoza. Okay? Spinoza. And the point was basically because, you see, if we take the Torah very seriously, it's very difficult to go against the Torah and do something wrong. But if all of a sudden we put the Torah on a pedestal, it's very hard to go ahead and to say, well, it's not so, this mitzvah is not so important, this mitzvah is not so important. But if once you start questioning, did everything in the Torah come from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, all of a sudden it becomes very easy to push certain things off. Right? And we have an obligation to always put the Chamisha Chumash Torah and the Nevi'im and Torah Shabbat on a pedestal, so God forbid no one should come along and try to say, well, you know, this isn't that important and that isn't that important. Every single mitzvah is important. Every single mitzvah. Now, it could be certain times a person has a reason, you know, let's say, for example, a person is stuck somewhere about water, okay, and he has to eat bread, so, okay, maybe he has a heter, but it doesn't mean that the Netilas Yadayim in general is not important, okay? Shabbos is so important. Now, obviously, in case of Pekuach Nefesh, so you can machal Shabbos, I mean, Shabbos is not important. We have an obligation to go ahead and make sure the Torah stays important. And I think, and it's possible to say, that's why the Gemara says that if someone says one pasuk of the Torah is not from Kadosh Baruch Hu, Dvar Hashem Biza. Because once you say one pasuk is not important, one pasuk is from Kadosh Baruch Hu, you can raise the back of the whole Torah. Because once you chose this pasuk doesn't come from Kadosh Baruch Hu, even if it's Bachos, Lot, and Tibna, it's a very easy jump to say the next pasuk is not important. And then you can go in and say, you know, this mitzvah is not that important, and this mitzvah is not important. And I have to say that we live in a time when, unfortunately, yes, religious Jews are not giving enough significance to certain mitzvahs, to certain Yisuri lav, and even to certain actions that might involve Yisuri kares. We have to realize every word of the Torah is important, and if we go ahead and say one letter, one word, Nakash Kodesh Baruch Hu, it's a very easy jump to go ahead and say that the rest of the Torah is not important. And that's why the Rambam, the Gemara says, that this is one of the Ikrei Emunah, to believe everything in Kodesh Baruch Hu. And it's possible to suggest that, and that's why the Rambam wanted to say that not only do you have to believe that every single word in Kodesh Baruch Hu came through Moshe Rabbeinu, because once you already put Moshe Rabbeinu out of the picture, then again you're taking part of the Torah off the pedestal. You're saying there are parts of the Torah that are more important than other parts of the Torah, and once we do that, it's a very dangerous jump and a decline which could lead people to start ignoring certain other mitzvahs. And that, for example, we know the Rambam has a shita that you shouldn't stand up during the Aseres HaDibros. Why? Because standing during the Aseres HaDibros, you're giving significance to the Aseres HaDibros, the rest of the Torah. Because according to the Rambam, you can't make one part of the Torah more than another. And therefore, according to the Rambam, if you go in and say that most of them are Moshe Rabbeinu, and one pasuk wasn't, even the last pasuk in the Torah, you're saying the rest of the Torah is more important, has more chashivas. Therefore, the Rambam holds, even though the Gemara just talks about that you have to say Torah min Hashemayim, that comes from Kadosh Baruch Hu, but if you leave Moshe Rabbeinu out of the picture, it's a very easy jump to taking Pesukim away from Kadosh Baruch Hu also. And that's why the Rambam goes ahead, and the Rambam has to stress many times in the Chesila, in the Igeres, in Perish HaMishnah, that it's not only the Torah was given by Kadosh Baruch Hu, but even that Moshe Rabbeinu wrote it all. Because if you don't believe Moshe Rabbeinu is part of the process in any word, then you'll come to take Kadosh Baruch Hu out of the picture either. And obviously, Yehuda Chassid and Ibn Ezra, they argued. They said, no, as long as you have Kadosh Baruch Hu in the picture, that's all you need. But Ibn Ezra says, he said, it could be that maybe someone else, it came afterwards. I'm checking, Zadola wrote it, Yeshua wrote it, Bahmashkel Yidon. A person who is smart will keep quiet. Why? Because if God, he says, I'm an Emes Pshat. And I assume he says scholars are reading my parish. But he says you have to be very careful because some people might get a hold of information and it could cause them to devalue other parts of the Torah. And that's very dangerous. And that's why it's so important to believe that every word came from Moshe Rabbeinu and from Kadosh Baruch Hu through Moshe Rabbeinu, because you have to realize every word in the Torah is so important. And it's possible that this is the pshat, this was the problem. This was the problem with the Septuagint. What was the problem with the Septuagint? The problem with the Septuagint was that, as Gemara says, that they weren't, you know, until the time the Torah was translated into Greek, the non-Jews heard about, you know, this Torah. And they know what the Torah was. The Torah was hidden. Only the Jews learned the Torah. And they thought the Torah was a great, wondrous thing. And all of a sudden the Torah translated into Greek. And it was a very simple translation. And they couldn't translate it thoroughly and go to the depths of the Torah. And all of a sudden, the non-Jewish world lost a certain respect for the Torah. And when that happened, it could be even some of the Jews might have lost some respect for the Torah. And that is the tragedy which Choshech comes 3 days, and maybe also it was like the angel. Because when all of a sudden the Torah is not so special, that's a tragedy, and all of a sudden the Jews are not so special also. I'd like to explain, what are the two expressions? It was like the day Shanasa Be'egel, it was like the day, it's like Choshech came for 3 days. So Hanukkah just passed, I know. But Maral, in their mitzvah, source number 17, that's his perish on Hanukkah, what happened on Hanukkah. The Rambam discusses, the Chazal, that one of the gzeiros of the Yevanim were that every Jew should take their shor, and right on the shore, on the Karan Ashor, they have to write, Ein lochem chelek v'lokei Yisrael, you have no chelek v'lokei Yisrael. That's what they have to write. So the question is why? Why would they write that? So he says, because they kifu l'karen ashor, she'ein lochem chelek v'lokei Yisrael. That's the Jews have to write that. Or they're trying to imply. They say the Jews were trying to imply that they are very special. They're the Am Hashem, they're the Am Nivchar. So the Greeks were trying to say, you're not so special. You committed a chay with the eagle. And the shore symbolizes the eagle. And you're not Yechlechem Chelechelech to Yisrael. In other words, the eagle symbolizes somehow or another, it symbolizes the pirud, the separation the Jews thought from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the eagle. And then the Jews weren't so special. And then the Torah is not so special because Kutchabrisu Beraisav Yisrael Chadu. So if we're not so special, the Torah is not so special. And therefore, and that's why when the Septuagint, Torah was translated, it was like Yom Shanaso Be'egel. Because it was the day that all of a sudden the Torah was taken off of its peak. The non-Jews felt, maybe the Torah not special anymore. They now saw what it was translated. They couldn't understand the depth and the beauty of the Torah. And the same thing that the Shulchan Aruch mentions and Seder Avraham Gaon, that at that point it was Choshech came to the world. Why Choshech? Because if you look at source number 16, so Rav Shim ben Lachish Pasrach Krava Golius, the Medrash Rava beginning Parshas Bereishis, second chapter of the Medrash, says, V'aretz ha'sovavohu, v'choshel me'sahom, darkness is Yavan. It's Yavan. And what did Yavan try to do? Yavan tried to separate Klal Yisrael from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What did they try to do? That was Yavan. Translating the Torah all of a sudden made the Jews weren't connected to God anymore. Because the Torah wasn't so special. Maybe the non-Jews now had access to the Torah. But that was a tragedy, because when we take the Torah off its peak, the Torah not so special, that's a tremendous tragedy. And I will just mention that if we speak about the Christian religion, besides all the Jews that they killed, the multiple Jews that they killed, the most difficult point for the Christians is to believe that Jews are God's chosen nation. As a matter of fact, the Christians had a problem. Why did they have a problem? They had a problem all the years, because if you look at the Torah, we are the chosen nation. So what did the Christians say? What did they say? We were rejected by God. Why? Because we're not special anymore, as the Greeks wanted to say. What's the proof that we were rejected? Very simple proof. What's the proof?
Not Eretz Yisrael.
So my uncle mentioned this very many times. I heard this. He spoke about this in Kinos. My uncle Rashi Bari says, they came back to Eretz Yisrael in 48. So the Vatican had a dilemma. What do you do about that? They had a very simple answer. We don't have Jerusalem. Then in 67, they had nothing to say anymore. That's why the Vatican is always speaking about Jerusalem being a unified and international city. Because they don't want us to have access to Jerusalem. Because when we have access to Yerushalayim, that's a crisis of faith for the Catholic Church. Because they want to say we're not so special. So if we speak about Chodesh Teves, commemorating the Septuagint, the Torah is not on this pedestal anymore. We speak about the great, we speak about the Christian religion also, according to this pshat. If it's correct, or if it's not correct. But yes, we can commemorate that tragedy that there were Christians who always try to impress upon the world and upon ourselves, and we're not so special. And maybe that's also the reason why Asar B'Teves is a day where if it had fallen out on Shabbos, it would not be Docha Shabbos. I once heard, I think, in the Chachmei HaChassidus, they point out that the reason why Asar B'Teves is so special is that was the first. It was the first time there was a tragedy coming to the Churban. For everything. After we don't commemorate when the Romans laid siege to Yerushalayim. But why? Because that tragedy was a tragedy to say the Torah is not so special. They were coming to go ahead and to attack Yerushalayim, to attack the Beis HaMikdash. That was their intention. They wanted to show they were not so special. That's a tragedy. Chodesh Teves is the time where we have to basically reclaim our crown. We have to go ahead and realize that the Torah is very special. I asked one more question I didn't answer. I asked, the Gemara says, Dvar Hashem Dizo, so is the Torah not in the Shemayim. Other examples, someone who learns Torah does not teach it, Dvar Hashem Dizo. Someone who does not review, someone who could learn Torah and doesn't learn Torah, Dvar Hashem Dizo. Why is it Dvar Hashem Dizo? it might not be as great as Avera is saying Torah is not mean a Shemayim. A person talks about Shemayim. But a person's opportunity to teach Torah and doesn't. A person's opportunity to learn Torah and doesn't. What he's saying is Torah is not that special. And the Bar Hashem be the means we're saying Torah is not special. And that, I think, is one of the aspects that Asar of Teves, Chorosh Teves is devoted to. We have to go ahead and realize and include in ourselves how special Torah is. And you know, we're not affected today by the Septuagint. We're not affected. But, unfortunately, I had a discussion with someone last week. I was talking to somebody in America, a very big rough, I want to mention his name, about the problems in America. Maybe there is, people are not as strict as they should be about Torah and mitzvahs. He said to me, it's because of Bible criticism. I said, what does that do anything? He said, it's all about Titus, it's all about desire. He said, because until you weaken or you penetrate the strength of the Torah, you can't go ahead and take away and start being lenient. And we have an obligation to be machzor the Torah, to put the Torah back on a pedestal. And that begins by saying that every word of the Torah came in a Shemayim through Moshe Rabbeinu. And then to realize how special the Torah is, to learn Torah, teach Torah, and to emphasize how special the Torah is. I can't tell you how many houses might have been destroyed because people started questioning. Did God say this? Did God say that? Marsh Hagin says, every single pasuk in the Torah, every single word can be explained, and there's a deep meaning behind it, because the Torah is so deep. But our obligation is to realize how special the Torah is. And I think, you know, during Chodesh Teves, you know, it's a month that just finished Hanukkah, we have to basically work on ourselves to put the Torah back on the pedestal. In terms of Shmiras and Mitzvahs, in terms of learning Torah, to realize that Torah Hashem came from Moshe Rabbeinu, and to realize that every word, every pasuk, every letter came from HaKadosh Baruch Hu through Moshe, and every letter is worth gems. And if we do that, that's the avoda, because we can't go ahead and work on our avodas Hashem until we put the Torah back on a pedestal and realize how special every word of the Torah is. Everyone should have Mitzvah Hashem, we should have a Nechama, and we should do what the Torah is, and Chodesh Teves should be turned to a day we're just focused on the special needs of the Torah.